This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Today is Palm Sunday, the first week of our Holy Week in the Christian calendar. So let's remind ourselves exactly what happened that day as we open our programme with a drama based upon readings from St Matthew and St John's Gospels.
Welcome to the lunchtime news from our broadcasting studios in Jerusalem. This is Georgios Ben Alagaias. Firstly, our apologies that we here at the studio were not better prepared at the time to challenge news which came to us a while ago about the death of local man Lazarus of Bethany. It had been reported to us that he had died, and obituaries in local papers confirmed this, but now it seems that this is not the case. Our sincere apologies go out to Lazarus and his family. We're pleased to announce that he is in fact very much alive and well and was seen partying with friends and relatives recently. A donkey and her foal went missing earlier today from the city centre in Jerusalem. Police are looking out for two men last seen heading toward Bethphage at dawn. Close friends of the owner of the donkey were reported to have said they thought the thieves had made an ass of the owner and they would bray them if they caught up with them. Many people were arrested earlier today for vandalising trees on the main approach road to the city. Whole branches were hacked off, and later some people were found trying to palm them off as flags for their celebrations. Let's just wave that one, shall we? Jesus of Nazareth, the well-known itinerant preacher, hailed by many as a healer, miracle worker and prophet, was seen today riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Let's hope it's not the same donkey. Nay, not likely. He was followed by his faithful disciples, and seemingly the crowd went wild with excitement when they saw him, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" Religious leaders, however, are voicing their concerns about such a welcome. Roman authorities in Jerusalem are staging the last of their gladiator finals in the arena this evening. But just wait a second. News is just coming through of a big disturbance, a riot, in fact, in the outer courtyard of the temple. We're taking you over right now to our reporter at the scene, Rita Chakrabartius. Hello, Rita. What news have you for us about the temple riot?
Well, Georgios, things have just about settled down now, but as you can see, we still have doves flying all over the place. Ah! Oh, sorry. One flew straight at me there. Animals are scurrying everywhere, running wild and knocking people over in the process. The last 15 minutes have been absolute bedlam. The crowds here have been out of control, scrambling for coins, running after livestock, and generally throwing the temple into an uproar. Quite rightly, the priests are furious.
What was it that started the riot in the first place, Rita? Can you tell us?
Well, it seems that Jesus of Nazareth lost his cool. He got off his donkey and straight onto his high horse, so to speak, and began upsetting the tables of the money changers and turning over the stalls of the dealers. Then he began to lash out at these traders with a whip made of cords. I have here with me someone who witnessed it all, well-respected businessman and a shrewd money exchange officer, Marcus Spensius. Marcus, did Jesus give any reason for his outburst?
Well, he had the audacity to call us robbers. He said we'd turned his house into a den of thieves. Well, that's a lie. I've never been anywhere near his house. I've never met the man. I wouldn't know him from Adam.
Thank you, Marcus. Marcus and all the other traders are all quite traumatised here at the moment. They were simply going about their business as usual in this most sacred of all places when the riot broke out. We also have here Eleazar bar Jonah, one of the temple guards who is on duty in the outer courts today. Eleazar, can you tell us anything about this incident?
Utter chaos. But we'll have all the action on our CCTV cameras. We'll catch him red-handed and we'll nail the culprit good and proper this time.
This is Rita Chakrabartius reporting live from the temple precincts here in Jerusalem. Back to you, Georges, in the studio.
I hope you all enjoyed that drama, and my thanks to Kevin Archer of LCB Radio North Northumberland, who provided most of the voices there with me. Now let's raise a few hosannas ourselves by way of our first hymn, Hosanna to the King of Kings, from the Vineyard Choir. Remember at all being given a thin red cellophane fish as a child, which when placed upon your palm moved and changed shape, supposedly to reveal your true character. There was actually a very simple scientific solution behind this magic trick, to do with a chemical called sodium polyacrylate, a salt which could grab and absorb moisture, such as sweat on your hands, and it was this process which changed the shape of the fish. But you know, we were utterly fascinated and taken in by this fish as young children. If the fish moved its head, you were a jealous person. If it moved its tail, you were indifferent. If it moved its head and its tail, you were in love. If it curled up entirely, you were said to be passionate. But if its sides curled, you were fickle. Now there's a strange word which we'll be looking at in our programme today. Of course, if the fish didn't move at all, you were either tired or dead. Wonderful stuff. Let's lift ourselves up, shall we, with another song. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, by Prestonwood Choir and Orchestra.
Lifted up the everlasting doors, and the King.
So what does fickle mean? Let me tell you about two friends of mine in junior school who were much closer to each other than they were to me, because they travelled home together, and so quite often I didn't know whether they were going to be my friends or not. One of them wasn't speaking to me for some reason, so I brought in a photo of her pop idol, Elvis Presley, and I placed it inside her desk. And when she came into the classroom and opened the lid, she asked, "Who put this picture of Elvis in my desk?" I put my hand up and replied, "I did." "Right," she said, "we're friends again." Do you know, I was ever so grateful. Fickle means to be changeable, unreliable, forever blowing hot and cold. And fickle is the word that sums up the very nature of the crowd that welcomed Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem on the day we now call Palm Sunday. The crowds that day were jubilant and went wild with excitement that at last their Saviour and King had come and was declaring himself openly as he processed into the city in view of everyone there. But by the end of that week, they were calling for his death. "Crucify him." Fickle indeed.
My song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne, salvation to my need, his life did spare.
That was Sylvia Burnside from Songs of Praise singing that well-known hymn, "My Song is Love Unknown." On the day of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the city was crowded with pilgrims, all geared up and ready to celebrate the greatest of their national festivals. It was Passover week. And every adult male within 20 miles of Jerusalem was expected to be there, as well as Jews from many other parts of the world. And what a welcome they gave Jesus as he rode in through the eastern gate on a donkey, on a colt that had never been ridden before, according to St. Matthew. Do you know, there's a sacred symbolism there that the crowd may not have understood at the time. For the Ark of the Covenant had been carried in this way, set on a cart which had never been used before, in 1 Samuel. And animals for the sacrifice in Numbers 19 and Deuteronomy 21 were those who had never known a yoke. Jesus had planned his move. It wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision. The ass and foal had already been arranged and were collected by means of a password by his disciples. And so Jesus entered centre stage, brave and defiant, a deliberate challenge to the religious elders. He came asserting his claim as God's anointed one, the Messiah, making it obvious, "This is who I am." Prophets in those days illustrated the truth of their words in drama. And he came proclaiming peace, riding a humble donkey, not a war horse, fulfilling words of the prophet Zechariah, who wrote 500 years before, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." A number of years ago, pupils from Central Middle School Choir, my school, sang See the Saviour of the World, and it's all about Jesus riding humbly on a donkey into town. But as far as the onlookers were concerned, they didn't see things as Jesus did. For here was one to them who had come to rally the troops and put the Romans to flight, run them out of town or even kill them. This day heralded their high noon, their crunch time. Their king had come in full view of the authorities. His timing was perfect and augured well. Passover. The time when freedom had come to the Hebrew slaves, releasing them from the clutches of the Egyptians who had ruled them for so long. Here was hope once more of victory over the oppressor. And here was one who would bring in God's kingdom at last. And from what they'd heard of the miracles Jesus had performed, the people he'd healed and brought back to life, Lazarus recently, a local man too, and from what they heard about him being able to fire people up and feed many people with a minimum of food, this was surely the one they'd been waiting for. And what a leader he would make, just like King David. And finally, here was one just like their former superhero, Judas Maccabees, who had cleansed and restored the temple to its full glory after a Syrian king had desecrated it with pig's flesh and erected idols there to honour Zeus. People had carried palm branches then and cried out their support. 200 years before this event. So people in the crowd were passionate, believing that the Romans would now be driven out. If they'd had a red cellophane fish in their hands, they would have been curled up entirely. But not all were as excited. Watching the proceedings at some distance away were those who were sceptical, angry, and fearful, indifferent and jealous, a whole range of emotions which would have caused the red cellophane fish to leap off their hands in alarm. For looking on were those who saw Jesus as an impostor and troublemaker. They were terrified that all this chaos and commotion might cause the Romans to move in against their people and ransack the temple. Now, had Jesus entered the city quietly, unnoticed, he might not have died that week, but in every way he had to surrender himself to God's will. Here's a beautiful song written by a dear friend of mine called Pete Scott, no longer with us, and I think this was one of his best songs, Come to Calvary.
My father chose to fire an arrow at a piece of dust, a world away. The way is long, the road is narrow, and we are just, or so we say. Come to Calvary, carry this for me. see truth in pain, gain in loss, come to Calvary. Kiss the cross. I am a child who knows no hatred, who sees a cruel place and wonders why the gate is closed, where love has waited so many centuries only to die. To Calvary, carry this for me. See truth in pain, gain in loss, come to Calvary. Kiss the cross. I am the poor who go unaided. Strives alone, who looks for food, sees wealth paraded, who looks for charity and finds a stone. Come to Calvary, carry this for me. See truth in pain, gain in loss, come to Calvary.
Caiaphas, their high priest, told them in no uncertain terms, "Don't you realize that it's better for you than one man should die for the people, than for the whole nation to be destroyed?" A prophetic statement indeed. In other words, take away this leader, rid ourselves of him, and all this disruption will come to nothing. There'll be no bloodshed other than his. Jesus knew what was in store. He knew his fate from ancient writings which said that he would suffer and die, and he himself prophesied that on the third day he would rise again. Jesus had told his disciples this, but they either hadn't understood him or they refused to believe it possible. By the end of the week, no one stood by him. No one spoke up for him. No one acted on his behalf, but many grieved because they loved him and had been at the receiving end of his love, his kindness and compassion. Some would be heartbroken because they had let him down and deserted him. Groups of similar people still line his route today and still close their doors to him. Incidentally, the eastern gate of the city was closed and walled up in 1530 AD, sealed off by Muslim conquerors, the Ottoman Turks, with great stones to make sure the Jewish Messiah could not enter the city. The Jews themselves still expect him, but they failed to recognize him when he did come through that eastern gate. Will we be ready for him when he returns once more, or will our doors be firmly closed too, just like then? That's all we have time for, I'm afraid. But before our final song, I do have one announcement which was sent to us by the Walls End Churches Working Together with regards to this coming Friday, the 7th of April, which is the date of their Good Friday Act of Witness in Walls End Park at the Bandstand, which will begin at 11 o'clock with music by the Salvation Army just before their service begins at 11:30. You'll also find details of services beforehand on their website www.wallsendchurches.org.uk. And so it's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and Andrew Ridgwick, my technician. Please join us too early this Good Friday at 8 o'clock for our half-hour special. We look forward to you joining us then. Bye for now.
The rabble. to be quiet. We anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell them all who's seen your song that they are fools and they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse.
Nothing can be done to stop the shouting. If every tongue was still, the noise would still continue. The rocks and stones themselves would start to sing.